And in fact, this is one of the most challenging passages of Scripture that I have dealt with and that we will deal with. But with the Lord's help, I believe that we can learn something from the Scriptures this afternoon. And I'm going to be honest with you. I may give you too much information tonight. I hope that I don't. I hope I don't overwhelm you. But y'all pray for me, and we'll condense it as best we can. And if I go in full-blown geek mode and lose you at some point, you catch up and then ask me about what you missed, and I'll tell you in the foyer, all right? Father, I love you. Thank you for being good. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Word of God and what it means to us. And I pray that you'd bless us over the next few moments. God, let us rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, may we teach with a spirit of simplicity. And Lord, may we grasp the truths of the Word of God tonight. I pray these things in your name, and amen. We began in this chapter two Wednesday nights ago. And the chapter begins, I'll remind you briefly, the chapter begins with Daniel's confusion. Daniel's confusion is followed by Daniel's prayer. You'll remember from 2 weeks ago that Daniel tells us that it is the first year of the reign of King Darius the Median, and that in that first year of Darius, he is studying the books. Specifically, he's studying the book of Jeremiah. And in the book of Jeremiah, he reads where the prophet says on numerous occasions that God is going to send the children of Israel into 70 years of captivity. Now, Daniel was carried away in the first wave of captivity. He's been there for the entirety of the Babylonian captivity. So, Daniel knows how old he was when he left home. Daniel knows how old he is now, and he begins to do the math, and he realizes they've been in captivity for 68 years, somewhere between 68 and 69 years. Therefore, if Jeremiah says that there are 70 years of captivity, Daniel is confused. Daniel is confused because what he has seen in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and his two prior visions, chapter 7, chapter 8, Daniel has been revealed by God, has been revealed to Daniel by God that there are to be four Gentile empires before the Jewish empire is reinstated, restored to its full capacity, and even in which that great everlasting kingdom is set up, Daniel chapter number 2. And so Daniel does not understand how that these kingdoms can come and go in the two remaining years of captivity. And as he is praying, God sends the messenger Gabriel. And Gabriel comes with a message to Daniel. In the midst of his prayer, he interrupts him and he says, God has sent me to tell you this. He said, God has determined, and I like that word determined. He says, God has determined. That word means he has carved out from history a section of time. God has carved out a section of time out of human history, a time of 70 weeks. And these 70 weeks are for six purposes. We talked about them last week. I'll mention them quickly and we'll move on. He said that God has set aside this period of 70 weeks of history so that he may finish the transgression. He can make an end of sin. He can make reconciliation for iniquity. All those are negative things. The next three are positive things. He said he will bring in everlasting righteousness. He will seal up the visions and the prophecies, and he will anoint the most holy. Essentially, what Gabriel said is this. Gabriel said, Daniel, God has set aside a period of 70 weeks, and in this 70 weeks, he will do away with all sin and transgression and iniquity, and he will bring in an everlasting kingdom of eternal righteousness without sin. The most holy will be anointed again. And essentially what he's saying is this. Daniel, God has a plan by which he will remove sin and he will usher in his eternal kingdom. Now, the kingdom that Gabriel talked about, where the Most Holy would be anointed, where visions and prophecies would finally be sealed up, where there would be everlasting righteousness, that will not come until that stone kingdom comes in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, according to Revelation chapter number 19. Let me remind you before I move on that Gabriel makes it very clear to Daniel that these six things, these six purposes have been determined for Daniel's people and for the holy city or Jerusalem. The prophecies that we have been given previous to this in the book of Daniel have been for the Gentile world powers. But this prophecy is for the Jew and the city of Jerusalem. God tells Daniel this period of time, this period of time is for the purpose of finally and fully dealing with sin, establishing a kingdom in which God will ultimately dwell among His people once again. Now I want you to look at verse number 24. That's where we left off and that's where we'll pick up. We only have four verses tonight, but I'm hoping I can get these four verses in. Look at verse 24. Let's begin there. Gabriel says to Daniel, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecies, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now Gabriel begins by telling Daniel of a period of 70 weeks. And I'll be honest with you, while this is the prophecy for Daniel's people and for the holy city of Jerusalem, I find it very interesting because it tells me about eternity. It tells me about a thousand-year kingdom that will turn into an eternal kingdom. That's something I want to know about. It tells me about the end days and the last times, and I want to know about that. Gabriel begins by this. He said, Daniel, I want you to know that God has determined a period of 70 weeks. When we read this passage, to understand this passage, we have to begin at the beginning. We have to understand what that word weeks means. So first of all tonight, I want us to talk about that phrase, 70 weeks. Now, when you and I think about a week, what do you think of? You think about 7 days, right? That when we say a week, we say Monday through Saturday, 7 days is a week. So a week in our mind is a group of 7 days. The word for seven, or word for weeks, I'm sorry, 70 weeks, the word for weeks in verse number 24 is the Hebrew word sabuiah, and that word literally means sevens is what it means. It means sevens. That makes sense, does it not? Again, we think of a week as 7 days, right? So essentially what Gabriel said is there are a period of 70 sevens determined against your people and the holy city. Now, you and I, when we think of weeks, we think of days. But it could be that Daniel does not think of days when the angel Gabriel says 70 sevens are determined against your people. In fact, to understand what the angel Gabriel is talking about, we have to understand that phrase in the context of the chapter. Daniel in this chapter has not been thinking about days or weeks. Daniel has been thinking about years. Daniel has been studying Jeremiah, and in Jeremiah, he has discovered 70 years are determined against his people Israel in Babylonian captivity, right? He has been doing the math, and he knows he has been there for 68 years. Daniel in chapter 9 is thinking in terms of years. And therefore, when the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel and says, Daniel, 70 sevens are determined against your people in the holy city, it could be, and I believe that it is, that Daniel knows that Gabriel is not talking about 70 weeks of days, but rather he's talking about 70 weeks of years. 70 sevens. 70 groups of 7 years are determined against your people. Beyond the fact that Daniel is thinking about years in the context of our scripture, we, We know that the Jews oftentimes thought in terms of weeks of years or Sabbath years, if you'll let me say it that way, because it's the way that God says it. God told the children of Israel that they were to work the ground for 6 years, and then in the seventh year they were to let the ground rest. You remember that? In fact, God told them this. This is interesting. God said, in fact, I want you to work the ground for 49 years, or for seven sevens, seven groups of 7 years, 49 years. And on the 50th year, which would be the year of Jubilee, I want you to let the land rest on that 50th year. 7 weeks of 7 weeks of 7 years. So they were used to thinking in terms of weeks of years. In fact, the Bible says this. It says in 2 Chronicles 36:21, it said, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Now we're talking about Babylonian captivity. Maybe I should have said this first. Do you know why they went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years? They went into Babylonian captivity for 70 years because they had violated 70 Sabbath years. Do you know how long it takes to violate 70 Sabbath years? 490 years. Sabbath years, seven, they violated 70 of them, that's 490 years. And so God said, by the word of the mouth of the prophet Jeremiah, until the land hath enjoyed her Sabbaths, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Jeremiah said this, you have desecrated 70 Sabbath years, and because of that, the land will set desolate for 6 years. Okay? Now, here's what happens. They violated 70 Sabbath years, 490 years. He said and prophesied that the land would lay desolate for 70 years because they desolated 70 Sabbath years, or groups of seven. He said, but God has determined a period of judgment of 70 weeks. Weeks of years, do you know what that means? 70 weeks, or 70 groups of seven. 70 times seven is 490. How many Sabbath years did they desecrate? A total of 490. Now, if you don't want to go along with the Sabbath years and Daniel thinking in terms of years, I could also show you how that God, with the children of Israel, set a standard by which God would translate those into years. You remember when the spies went to spy out the land of Canaan? You remember that? Do you remember how long they were there? 40 days. And they come back and said, we can't take the land of Canaan. And you know what God said? God said, that's fine. You'll wander around in the wilderness for 70 years. So when God deals in terms of judgment on the nation of Israel, He deals in years. You'll wander in the wilderness for 40 years because you were over there for 40 days. So we're talking about this judgment now. God deals in years. So, 70 weeks, 70 sevens is what the Hebrew says. 70 sevens, and we're not talking about groups of days, 7 days, but groups of years. 70 periods of 7 years. Now, having a step further, and let me ask you a question. The question is this, 70 sevens, I should have went through my slides a little better. Here we are again, 70 weeks of years, 70 years of judgment. I got to get somebody to do slides for me while I'm preaching. So, let me ask you a question. So, we've determined that 70 sevens are 70 groups of 7 years. So, the question is this. How long is a year? How long is a year? Now, if you are was good in what would be history in school, you would tell me maybe science. You would say, well, I know that one, preacher. That's an easy one. A year is 365 days. If you were an A-plus student, You would actually say a year is 365.25 days if you were an A-plus student. That seems like such a simple question. We've discussed this before. But to understand these 70 groups of 7 years, we've got to understand what a year is. Now, again, we've got to think in terms of Daniel, okay? Gabriel is talking to Daniel. The Jewish calendar did not consist of 365.25 days, nor did it consist of 365 days. But rather, the Jewish calendar consisted of 360 days. And the Jewish calendar had 360 days, and then they would just throw in a month every once in a while, just for good measure to catch up with everybody else. We could talk about how you could do the math when it comes to the flood in Noah's day, and you'll discover that a year had 360 days. We could compare Daniel's writings with the writing of John the Revelator, and we could do times and times and the dividing of times and weeks, and we could talk about 1260 days. But in the end, you're just going to have to take my word on this one because I don't have time for all that. The Jewish calendar was 360 days. Okay? So there's little doubt that God would deal with Daniel in any other calendar other than the calendar Daniel understood. That was the Jewish calendar. So, if we do our math, let's do our math. The angel Gabriel tells Daniel in verse number 24 that 70 weeks are determined upon his people. In verse 25, he said, "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. And the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times." So he says that there are 70 weeks of years determined. He said, and from the command to build Jerusalem and to Messiah the Prince will give us 7 weeks. And then he said it this way, 62 weeks or 62 weeks. So I did the math for you. 7 and 62 is 69 years. 69 years, 69 groups of years, I should say, 69 weeks times 7, which would be how many years, would be in a week of years, gives us 483 years. Does that make sense? Does everybody follow that? 69 weeks of years, so that would be 6 years in a week. So 69 is that first section, 483 years. And then he tells us in verse number 26, and after 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. And then verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. Okay? So there will be one more week of years, 7 years. So if we take and do our math, 483 years and 7 years, it's a period of 490 years. With all that said, let's look at our text and see if we can understand this. Gabriel begins by telling us that this commandment, this 70 weeks, will start, verse 25, when the command goes forth to restore and to build Jerusalem. So this period of prophecy begins when the command to restore and build Jerusalem is given. Now that seems pretty simple, right? You think, okay, I can handle that. I can figure out when that starts. And if I can figure out when it starts, I can figure out when it ends because it's 490 years. So that's an easy one. I'll just Google it and Wikipedia will tell me when the command went forth to build Jerusalem. It's not that easy because there are four commands that are given that people in different groups claim are the command that begins our 70 weeks. Let's start from the start. If we can find the start, we can find the end. Gabriel tells us from the command to build Jerusalem will be 69 weeks. The first decree was given by Cyrus the Persian in B.C. 536. You'll find this in your Bible. It's in the book of Ezra, chapter number 6, verse 1 through verse number 4. There are many people that believe that this command is the command because it's the first one. It is Cyrus the Persian speaking to Ezra the scribe, and giving him permission to go back and to rebuild the temple. They take Isaiah 44 and use it as their proof. But the problem is this. If you start at B.C. 536 and you go forward 483 years, which would be 69 weeks of years times 7, 483, and you go forward 483 years from B.C. 536, then you arrive at, if you go from there, you arrive 54 years before the birth of Christ. B.C. 536, 483 years, you arrive at B.C. 54. And he said that from the command to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince would be 483 years. How can you have Messiah the Prince 54 years before Christ is born? Besides that, Christ didn't start his earthly ministry till he was 30 years old, so now we're off by 80 years. He said, well, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. But God doesn't work in terms of close. Not only that, but if you read the proclamation in Ezra chapter number six, verse 1-4, you'll discover that Cyrus never said anything about building the walls, building the city of Jerusalem. Cyrus, all that's mentioned is that he gives Ezra permission to build the house of the Lord and the temple. The second command then, maybe it's the second one. The second one is given by Darius the Persian. Darius the Persian in B.C. 519. Your first text was actually in Ezra chapter number 1, verse 1-4. Ezra 1, 1-4 was the first command. Ezra 6, 1-12 is the second. If you read chapter number 5 of the book of Ezra, you'll discover that Ezra was trying to rebuild the temple and he's faced with opposition. And the opposition says, Ezra, you don't have the authority to do this. And so they go to Darius and they say, Darius, could you search the treasure house in Babylon and find out if Cyrus truly said they could build this temple? And Darius looks at it and he discovers that, yes, Cyrus had made that proclamation. But some people claim that that is our beginning point. That's not our beginning point. We're still off in days, still off in years, and no command has been given. The third is given by Artaxerxes, the Persian king in B.C. 458. In B.C. 458, they say that could be our starting point. But Artaxerxes, the Persian king, really never gave the command to build Jerusalem. In fact, if you read the text, Ezra chapter number 7, you'll discover that this was just a letter that Artaxerxes gave, giving Ezra permission to buy wood and timber and supplies out of the king's treasury so they could build the temple. And again, if we do our math from B.C. 458, 483 years forward, we get to A.D. 25. And if we're at A.D. 25, there's nothing really that makes sense to say Messiah, the Prince. Maybe the baptism of Christ could be around that. But that's a stretch. So there's one more decree left. There's one more decree left. And that is, again, a decree by Artaxerxes, the Persian. And he gives it in B.C. 445. You find this in Nehemiah chapter number 2, verse 1 through verse number 8. If you read Nehemiah chapter number 2, you'll discover that Nehemiah receives a messenger, and he asks the messenger, has the city been built? And the response is, no, the city has not been built. And this really bothers Nehemiah. He's troubled by it. And Artaxerxes, the Persian king, notices the trouble in the place of Nehemiah. He said, Nehemiah, what's the problem? And I said unto the king, if it please the king and thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah unto the city of my father's sepulcher, for what purpose? Because I want to build it. And in verse number 6, Artaxerxes, the Persian king, in the presence of his wife, the queen, gives him permission or gives the decree to build Jerusalem. build Jerusalem. There is no other decree of this nature in your Bible. There is no other decree that fits. It's got to be this one. Artaxerxes gives this decree, build Jerusalem. Okay, so let's find out when that was. We said it was B.C. 445. We can be a little more specific than that. Nehemiah 2:1 tells us that it was in the month Nisan, that he was given this decree. Because it was in the 20th year of the king Artaxerxes, in the month Nisan. Nisan was the first year of the Jewish calendar. This command was given in the month Nisan, on the 20th year of his reign. That puts us on B.C. 445. And so if we start doing our math, most scholars will tell you that this actually took place on what we would say would be March the 14th, B.C. 445. And we go forward 483 years. We go forward 483 years and we come to Messiah the Prince. You say, what took place 483 years after Artaxerxes gave this command? Well, it's not the birth of Christ. And it's not the death of Christ. But there's an event that takes place just before the death of Christ and after the birth of Christ that takes place in the month Nisan, 483 years later. That phrase, Messiah the Prince, is an interesting phrase. It's an official title. It's a title given to kings. We know that Jesus, when he was born the king. We know that. We know that he was the king of the Jews. We know that. But the reality is that Jesus did not accept that title of king when he was born. He started his ministry and he didn't accept that title of king. In John chapter 6, they tried to make him a king and he disappeared out of their sight and would not accept their kingship. But just a week before his death, he did something interesting that was so out of character from the rest of his life. He sent his disciples to go fetch a donkey that had never been rode on. And he said, bring it to me, I'm going to ride it into the city of Jerusalem. And that wasn't a humble ride into the city of Jerusalem. That was a ride of proclamation. I've told you this before. He rode on that donkey because he was claiming the title that was rightfully his. It was the title of Messiah and it was the title of king. Kings rode on donkeys. And he rode into the city and he let them do something that he had never let them do before. He let them wave palm branches and cry, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And all this happened in the month of Nisan, 483 years after B.C. 445. Know ye therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, B.C. 445, unto Messiah the Prince, shall be 69 weeks. That is proof that we're talking of weeks of years because it was 483 years. Now notice what Gabriel tells Daniel would happen after the 69 weeks were finished. Daniel says, after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the wars, desolations are determined. Therefore, the angel tells Daniel that after the 69 weeks are over with, after Messiah accepts his kingship, some things are going to happen. He's going to be cut off. He's not going to be cut off for himself. And we know he wasn't cut off for himself. He was cut off for you and for me. He was cut off for others. So we see the beginning of the 70 weeks. Let's find the end of the 70 weeks. And let's get out of here. If we find the beginning of the weeks, now we can go find the end. We've talked about the 7, the 62. We've got to find that one. I want you to notice something. Notice that word after again. After. After 62 weeks, Messiah will be cut off. After the 62 weeks, the prince that shall come, his people will destroy the sanctuary. We know that that happened after the Romans destroyed the city of Jerusalem. After the 62 weeks, there shall be a flood of persecution. Can I say the Jews have suffered persecution, terrible persecution? We could talk about persecution from the Romans. We could talk about persecutions from on down to even in recent years as millions of them were slaughtered in Germany. And it's been a flood of persecution. After, there will be wars and there will be desolation. There are two things that I need you to see about that, and this is what I want you to see. First of all, I want you to see that the 70 weeks do not run concurrent. He basically said this. He said, Daniel, I want you to know that there are going to be 69 weeks, and then there's going to be some things happen after that. Do you see that? And after, when the first 69 weeks are over, some stuff's going to happen. What's going to happen? Well, Messiah is going to be cut off. The city's going to be destroyed. There's going to be a flood of persecution. There's going to be a period of wars. There's going to be some stuff happen after. Okay? I want you to also see this. The period that is described as and after is the period of time that you and I are living in. You and I are living in the period of time that takes place after the 69 weeks, but before the 70th week. They don't have to run concurrent to one another. Nothing says they do. In fact, Gabriel tells us that they don't, because he says there's going to be some stuff take place. We've seen that Jewish persecution. We have seen those wars. We are still fighting wars today. We're in that period of time. So after that, finally will come the 70th week. Look at verse number 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The first question that we have to ask is, who is the he? And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. Who's the he? Now, believe it or not, there are some people that say that this he is Christ. That he will confirm, and they say this is the new covenant that he'll make with his people. But we know that Christ's covenant is an everlasting covenant, and this covenant is broken after half of it is over with. So it can't be Christ. No, the he refers us back to the previous verse 26, where it's talking about the prince that shall come and his people that will destroy the city of Jerusalem. So therefore, we know that it was the Romans that destroyed the city of Jerusalem. Therefore, there is coming a prince out of the Roman people, and he, the Roman prince, will confirm a covenant for 1 week. We have seen in the last two chapters the little horn. Now we see this little horn one more time, although he's not described as a little horn. In verse 26, he's called the prince that shall come, and we learn something new about him. We learned that he would come out of that last empire, although we were never told who that empire was, chapter 7. We know that he'll come from one of the four forks that the Grecian Empire was divided into, and we've not got there yet, but we'll get there. But now we learn that he is a Roman, because in AD 70, the Romans are the ones that destroyed the city of Jerusalem. When Antichrist appears, he will make a covenant with the Jews of peace for 1 week. How long is a week? It's 7 years. It's a week of years. He'll confirm a covenant with them for 7 years. He'll confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, but not with all. God has always and will always have a remnant, and he'll have a remnant in the last days.
And then he tells us that in the midst of the week, he'll cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. He's breaking his word. He's breaking his covenant. We know that he'll make the sacrifice, the oblation, cease. We've talked about this in previous weeks. This is when Antichrist, in Revelation chapter number 13, indwelt by Satan himself, proclaims himself to be God. Just as Nebuchadnezzar did in Daniel chapter number, 3 or 4, he will build an image to himself and he'll command all men to fall down and worship him. And how long will he do that? He will do it until the overspreading of the abomination. He'll make it desolate even until the consummation, right up to the very end. He'll proclaim himself to be God right into the very end. At this point, Christ will come. Daniel chapter number 2, a stone will be cut out of the mountain without hands, and it will smite the Antichrist, and it will smite his kingdom. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8, Christ will appear, and he will destroy Antichrist with the brightness of his coming. At this time, Revelation chapter number 1, the nation of Israel will look upon him whom they have pierced. They will see the nail prints in his hand and they will say, it was him, it was him, it was him. And according to the prophet Zechariah, a nation will repent and turn to God in a day. And do you know what will happen when that takes place, when that nation turns to God in a day? God will make an end of sin. He'll do away with iniquity. Amen. He'll usher in everlasting righteousness. He'll seal up those visions and prophecies. He'll anoint the most holy place again. He'll set up a kingdom. He'll sit on the throne of David and he'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. Gabriel said there's a period of 70 sevens, 490 years determined. Those 483 years are already behind us. And there's one more week left. A week of Jacob's trouble. A week of 7 years. And that 7 years will begin when that world leader signs that covenant of peace with the Jewish people. You say, why would they sign a covenant of peace? Well, because there's been a flood of desolation and wars and destruction. They would love to have peace tonight in Jerusalem. And it'll be a false peace, but they'll think it's peace. And they'll sign a covenant. And that'll begin the 7 years, the last week of tribulation. Father, thank you. You've been good. We appreciate the opportunity to study your word tonight. I pray that we've rightly divided the scriptures. Give us wisdom as we move forward. We pray in Jesus' name. And amen. All right.